The Voyages of Dr. Doolittle by Hugh Lofting. Prologue. All that I have written so far about Dr. Doolittle I heard long after it happened from those who had known him. Indeed, a great deal of it took place before I was born. But I now come to set down that part of the great man's life which I myself saw and took part in. Many years ago the doctor gave me permission to do this, but we were both of us so busy then voyaging around the world, having adventures and filling notebooks full of natural history, that I never seemed to get time to sit down and write of our doings. Now, of course, when I am quite an old man, my memory isn't so good any more. But whenever I am in doubt and have to hesitate and think, I always ask Polynesia the parrot. That wonderful bird, she is now nearly 250 years old, sits on the top of my desk, usually humming sailor songs to herself while I write this book. And as everyone who ever met her knows, Polynesia's memory is the most marvelous memory in the world. If there is any happening I am not quite sure of, she is always able to put me right, to tell me exactly how it took place, who was there, and everything about it. In fact, sometimes I almost think I ought to say that this book was written by Polynesia instead of me. Very well, then, I will begin. And first of all, I must tell you something about myself and how I came to meet the doctor. End of the prologue. Part 1, Chapter 1. The Cobbler's Son. My name was Tommy Stubbins, son of Jacob Stubbins, the cobbler of Puddleby on the Marsh, and I was 9 1/2 years old. At that time, Puddleby was only quite a small town. A river ran through the middle of it, and over this river there was a very old stone bridge called Kingsbridge, which led you from the marketplace on one side to the churchyard on the other. Sailing ships came up this river from the sea and anchored near the bridge. I used to go down and watch the sailors unloading the ships upon the river wall. The sailors sang strange songs as they pulled upon the ropes, and I learned these songs by heart. And I would sit on the river wall with my feet dangling over the water and sing with the men, pretending to myself that I too was a sailor. For I longed always to sail away with those brave ships when they turned their backs on Puddleby Church and went creeping down the river again across the wide, lonely marshes to the sea. I longed to go with them out into the world to seek my fortune in foreign lands, Africa, India, China, and Peru. When they got round the bend in the river and the water was hidden from view, you could still see their huge brown sails towering over the roofs of the town, moving onward slowly, like some gentle giants that walked among the houses without noise. What strange things would they have seen, I wondered, when next they came back to anchor at Kingsbridge. And dreaming of the lands I had never seen, I'd sit on there, watching till they were out of sight. Three great friends I had in Puddleby in those days. One was Joe, the mussel man, who lived in a tiny hut by the edge of the water under the bridge. This old man was simply marvellous at making things. I never saw a man so clever with his hands. He used to mend my toy ships for me, which I sailed upon the river. He built windmills out of packing cases and barrel staves, and he could make the most wonderful kites from old umbrellas. Joe would sometimes take me in his mussel boat, and when the tide was running out, we would paddle down the river as far as the edge of the sea to get mussels and lobsters to sell. And out there on the cold, lonely marshes, we would see wild geese flying, and curlews and redshanks, and many other kinds of seabirds that live among the samphire and the long grass of the great salt fen. And as we crept up the river in the evening, when the tide had turned, we would see the lights on Kingsbridge twinkle in the dusk, reminding us of tea-time and warm fires. Another friend I had was Matthew Mugg, the cat's-meat man. He was a funny old person with a bad squint. He looked rather awful, but he was really quite nice to talk to. He knew everybody in Puddleby, and he knew all the dogs and all the cats. In those times, being a cat's-meat man was a regular business, and you could see one nearly any day going through the streets with a wooden tray full of pieces of meat stuck on skewers.